Well, good morning, everyone. Yeah. So my name is Eugene. I serve with International Justice Mission Canada, IJM. And IJM works worldwide to protect vulnerable people from forms of violence. And in my role, I have the honor of serving our supporters and our church partners to raise awareness of the mission, to raise funds to fuel it. And it's been a little while since we've been here with all of it, and it's wonderful to be back with your community. So thank you for welcoming me back and for this opportunity and this privilege to serve your church today. Now, at IJM, the inspiration for our mission is Christ. Christ brings freedom from the oppression of sin. And we believe that this includes freedom from physical forms of oppression, like slavery and like violence. And we are privileged to be on this mission together with the global church. And all of it has been a generous and faithful partner in this mission. So I'm very glad to have the opportunity to express our heartfelt gratitude for your faithful support. And the church's response to injustice and the needs of vulnerable people is something that I have a passion for, so getting to engage in this through our mission at IJM is very meaningful for me. Now, before I joined the staff of IJM Canada, I served overseas with IJM through our internship program. My wife and I, we lived for a year in South Asia, where we served with one of our field teams there to support the fight against slavery and human trafficking. Now, slavery, human trafficking, this is one of the forms of violence that IJM fights against. So we saw in the video telling us about Onko's story. So Onko's story is based on the experiences of forced labor slavery in Southeast Asia. Now, in forced labor slavery, traffickers exploit vulnerable people and force them to work in poor, abusive conditions, under threats of violence, under deception. And this takes place in many different industries, like fishing, or farming, or textiles, or domestic work. And all around the world, other forms of abuse that IJM addresses also, there could be violence, sexual violence against women and children, physical violence. Or it could be police abusing their power against vulnerable people who don't have anyone to defend them. And in all of these cases, what is happening is that there is violence being committed against people who can't protect themselves. So it's in response to this that IJM works in 28 communities, 16 countries worldwide, to protect people against exploitation and abuse. For the past 25 years, IJM has worked together with local authorities and grassroots organizations to strengthen local justice systems. And this has led to the rescue of more than 76,000 people like Onko from slavery and violence. And not only that, through this work, we've helped to protect more than 7 million people from ever being subjected to violence or trafficking. Because this is the goal. It's to stop this violence from happening in the first place so that people don't have to endure it. Now, we do this because as Christians, we believe that the God of the Bible is the God of justice. That God cares that people in poverty are vulnerable to abuse. That God cares that there are 50 million people worldwide, like Onko, who are trapped in slavery. And we believe that as followers of Jesus, we join with him in the work to bring freedom to those who are oppressed. And at IJM, this is how we do it. We work with authorities and with community leaders to respond to forms of violence. So for example, this could be providing trainings for police officers and local prosecutors. And then we work together with these officials to rescue the victims of violence. So this is going to the dark places where slavery and violence are taking place to help bring rescue to these victims. So this could be going to fishing boats or factories, or it could be homes where children are being abused. And then after the survivors are rescued, we support their healing by providing services like therapy and counseling and skills training, because this helps them in their healing, and we want to see them restored. And along with this, we work together with officials to ensure that those who are doing this, those who are committing the violence, are held responsible. Because this is what stops the cycle of violence when communities see that there are consequences to these actions. Now, this is a challenging mission, which is why we need to be reminded that the weight is not ours to bear, it's God's. And our global team is reminded of this every day. At IJM, as part of our rhythms worldwide, every office takes half an hour each day to pray together. This brings us back to God every day, reminding us that we must rely on Him for the strength in this mission. So our offices around the world, they have a plaque or they have a sign, and it reads this. It says, God's weight, our work, Jesus' way. So this reminds us. It reminds us that the weight of injustice is God's to bear. The work to fight injustice, to protect vulnerable people, that's our mission. And we are to carry out the work for this mission in Jesus' way. So it's God's weight, our work, Jesus' way. And today, that's what I want to look at a little. I want to look at doing justice in Jesus' way. And I'll share about how we have been able to experience this, how we've seen this through our work at IJM. The scripture passage that we read is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Might be Jesus' most famous story. And from it, we can learn. We can learn some things about what it looks like to engage in doing the work of justice in Jesus' way. So Jesus tells a story. He tells a story of a man who gets attacked by robbers while on the road going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And we know that the two religious leaders, they see him, and they pass by him on the other side. Now, the text doesn't say why these leaders did this. Yeah, maybe they were busy. They didn't have the time to stop. Or maybe they thought it was a corpse, a dead body, and religious laws would have prevented them and prohibited them from approaching or touching the dead body because it would have made them unclean. But whatever the reason, the priest and the Levite, they didn't stop. They didn't act when there was a victim of violence in front of them. But then the Samaritan is a man from a different cultural background, a different religious background. He stops to help this victim. And Jesus teaches that it's the Samaritan who's the example of being a neighbor to the victim, even though the other two may have been leaders or people who were considered more religious. Now, in the parable, this man, he's a victim of the sin of violence. And Jesus says that when the robbers attacked the man, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and then they leave him half dead. So we can see how unjust and how offensive the sin of violence is. Violence is unjust because it takes away the good that God intends for that person. Violence is offensive because when you commit violence, you're not treating the other person as someone who bears the image of God. So when the robbers strip the man of his clothes, they show no regard for this man's dignity. And when they beat him, they show no regard for his safety. And then when they leave him to die, they show no regard for his life or his existence at all. And this is what happens when people commit violence. Now, when the priest and the Levite, they saw the victim, they passed by him, more concerned about what would happen to them if they approached him. So they avoided him. But the Samaritan man did the opposite. He thought about what had happened and what was happening to the victim, and then went to him to bring rescue. He bandages his wounds, takes him to a place of safety. The Samaritan takes the man to an inn to make sure that he's taken care of. And by caring for this man, this Samaritan is restoring a victim of violence. And this is possible when we do justice in Jesus' way. Now, in our mission, in our work at IJM, we have indeed met and have worked with survivors who have endured much violence. People like Onko, who were tricked and they're exploited for labor. We've seen workers who have been forced to work under violent and abusive conditions. And when they tried to escape their abusers, they were caught, and then they had their hands chopped off. We fought for justice for women and children who have endured physical and sexual abuse. Now, when we learn of these cases of violence, we work together with authorities to rescue them from these abusive conditions. And then we support these survivors because we want to see them restored. Because survivors of violence, they deserve to be cared for, just like this man on the Jericho Road. Now, at the inn, the Samaritan asks the innkeeper to help him to take care of this man. And this tells us something else about when we do justice Jesus' way, that is done in partnership, is done in community with others. Perhaps the innkeeper, being from the area, is more familiar with the area. He also knows other people who can help the victim. When we engage in the work of justice, we don't need to do it alone. As followers of Jesus, we do this as his church. We're on mission with him to bring healing to suffering in this world. And we work together in community with others to be more effective. So at IJM, we work in partnership with others in this mission because it can increase the scale of our work. And it's how we can protect even more people from violence. Earlier this year in February, I had the privilege of visiting our field office together with some staff and some of our supporters and partners. We visited Guatemala, where IJM has an office, and in the Latin America region, our casework in IJM works to protect women and children from forms of violence. So it was great. It was a great time to connect with our staff and our partners, to be on the ground, to see the work, and also to be in the country, to understand the setting and the context of where the work takes place. Now, while we were in Guatemala, I learned about an organization. It's called MOCVIN, and it's the Christian Movement Against Violence Against Children. And IJM in Guatemala is part of this group, which includes other Christian organizations like Kids Alive, Compassion, and the Bible Society of Guatemala. Now, MOCVIN, it works to protect children in Guatemala by strengthening the church to lead social change focused on reducing violence. And what I learned that one way that MOCVIN does this is by providing resources for churches. So we learned about this kit and that the MOCVIN produces for local Guatemalan churches to provide education and training on how to prevent violence against children, and on how to advocate for survivors. So we had this opportunity to hear from representatives and leaders within MOCVIN, and you know, I was struck by how the impact is increased and it's scaled through partnerships like this. These organizations that make up MOCVIN, they share experiences and their best practices with each other. And they work in ways that strengthen everyone and it improves access to justice in the community. When you do this work of justice in community, it makes their communities safer. And what we've seen is that this is what has brought hope, increased the hope to vulnerable people in Guatemala. And we know that doing this work, it comes at a cost. And we know that doing justice Jesus' way is costly. The Samaritan gave the innkeeper 2 denarii to cover the expenses to take care of the victim. 1 denarius was the usual daily wage for a worker. So the Samaritan was ready to commit at least 2 days of wages to take care of the man. And he also told the innkeeper he'd come back to make sure that the man was looked for and to cover additional expense. And this shows us the example of being generous in the work of justice. We are so grateful that all of it is incredibly generous in this way. Thank you. Thank you for your faithful support of IJM. And I encourage you. I encourage you to continue giving to your church, to support all of your missions initiatives and your partners to make the kingdom of God more visible and more known. Thank you. Now, along with the financial cost of doing justice, maybe the cost to doing justice is in opportunity. Perhaps you explore educational or career paths that lead to important justice work that might be less lucrative. Or the cost could be in your commitment of time. When I served in IJM's internship program to support our work in the field, it was certainly a commitment of time and of opportunity, but it was so worth it. It was so meaningful to be a part of our work of justice in this way. And if you'd like to know more about IJM's internship program, certainly would be happy to speak with you. What we've learned in our work at IJM is that, indeed, it is possible to rescue and to restore victims of violence. And we've been able to celebrate as survivors have been healed. And now we'll have survivor leaders who can work to equip and empower others because the voices of the survivors are so critical to defending vulnerable people from abuse. And we now have survivors who work for IJM to use this experience, to use their platform to help bring rescue to other victims. What we've also seen in our work is that this violence can be prevented from happening in the first place. It's like imagining what it would be like if there were no robbers on the Jericho Road. Now, the road between Jerusalem to Jericho was about 30 kilometers long, and along the way, it was surrounded by rocky walls and with caves. So this route, it was known to be dangerous. As robbers, they'd have a lot of places that they could hide, and there's a lot of ways for them to escape into the desert. So when Jesus told the parable, his audience would have known that he was referring to this road that was notorious for being dangerous. But what if the robbers couldn't get away with doing this? What if they were held responsible, held accountable for violence? Well, then people would feel safer while going on this road. And at IJM, that's what we want to see. We want people to feel safe in their communities. And this is why we work to strengthen justice systems to protect people. Let me tell you one more story of rescue and of protection. And it's about a new way for robbers to exploit vulnerable people that IJM is now fighting against in Southeast Asia. It starts like this. You get a text message that just says, hello. So this was a message that I received. And maybe you've got them on your phone or through social media as well. Now, there's a lawyer in Boston. Her name is Cindy, and she received a message like this. And when it came in, she first ignored it. And then when a follow-up message came, she responded and said, oh, sorry, wrong number. And then from there, it led to a conversation with a man named Jimmy from Los Angeles. Now, when this conversation started, Cindy was receiving treatments for cancer, and she had also recently separated from her husband. So Cindy and Jimmy, they would have conversations over text, just about life, and this eventually led to them talking about investments and cryptocurrency. Now, Jimmy made a recommendation, told Cindy to use this website to make some investments. And Cindy did that and started to see some profits. So she invested some more. When she tried to cash out and withdraw, the site told her about all the fees and some of these taxes that she would have to pay, and Cindy had invested a large sum of money. But it turns out that none of this was true. The website that she was using to invest, it wasn't real. This whole operation was a scam. Cindy was vulnerable, and she was taken advantage of. And in the end, Cindy was robbed of about $2.5 million. Now, I share this story because I certainly don't want you to be the victim of an investment scam. But I also want to ask this question. Who's Jimmy? Now, in this story, we don't know what happened to Jimmy. But we do know that people like Jimmy may themselves be victims of human trafficking. Thousands of people have been lured by social media ads that promise high-paying jobs in Cambodia and Laos and Myanmar and the Philippines. But these jobs aren't real. They turn out to be conducting online scams to target victims around the world with fake romance or investment opportunities. And this is what happened to one of our survivors named Morris from Indonesia. Morris had lost his job during the pandemic. And then in early of 2022, he saw a posting, an exciting advertisement in Indonesia sort of for a job that was based in Cambodia. And then he applied. So he connected with the advertiser online and through messaging. And he was excited when he was offered this job. The company paid for his visa and for his travel to Cambodia. After Morris arrived in Cambodia, he was picked up by the company and then brought to this compound with people from other countries. At the compound, the guards took his passport. And then after that, Morris never left the compound. He was required to work for 16 hours a day. And he soon realized the job wasn't what was advertised. He had to pretend to be a woman, create social media profiles, and then use these profiles to scam people into making fraudulent investments with the company. The company set targets for their workers. If they didn't meet their targets to sign up customers, there would be punishments. Morris saw his salary get cut. He saw his supervisor beating his friends when they made mistakes. Now, Morris's experience is common for people who have been rescued from these forced scamming compounds. This is a satellite image showing a place called KK Park, and it's one of Myanmar's most notorious compounds that's near the border of Thailand. And these compounds have thousands of people working inside. And news reports have been able to report on them, and they've detailed abusive conditions, extreme violence in the buildings, workers being beaten, food withheld, confined in dark rooms, or being sold from one employer to another. There's no escape. Now, Morris was uncomfortable with what he was being made to do, so he wanted to resign. But when he did this, the employer asked him to say, "Well, you have to repay the cost of the visa and what we paid to bring you to Cambodia." They even asked Morris's family to provide that money, which, of course, they didn't have. So Morris was trapped. Now, it was during their time in the compound, another one of the survivors was able to contact a relative who then reported what was happening to IJM. IJM provided this information to Cambodian police. And then working together, the police attended the compound and where they were able to rescue Morris and eight others. And then in July of 2022, IJM was able to assist them, help them return back to Indonesia where Morris could be reunited with his family. Now, back in Indonesia, the agents that brought Morris and the other survivors, they were arrested and charged with human trafficking offenses. In the fall, they went to trial. Morris, other survivors, they gave testimony in the case. And these traffickers, they were found guilty, and they were sentenced to prison. So this key trafficker was also ordered to pay compensation to the victims. So we can celebrate. We can celebrate that Morris has received justice because the conviction of his traffickers means that they cannot exploit other vulnerable people anymore. The road is now safer for Morris and people in his community. So if you get a text message that might be a scam, of course, be careful. What happened to Cindy, this was a terrible injustice. But know that the person who's sending you the message may also be a victim of violence, a victim of human trafficking. And we're reminded, these experiences of Cindy and of Morris, they remind us of the reality of injustice. It's unfair. It's offensive. And when we see this, we cannot just pass by on the other side. So how do we respond? I invite you to consider these questions as we seek to do justice Jesus' way. When we do justice Jesus' way, it restores victims of violence. So, how do we respond when we hear about injustice and violence against vulnerable people? Do you look for ways to help to restore these victims? We know that doing justice Jesus' way is in partnership and is in community. How can you engage in doing justice in community? What are some ways that you can participate in as a family, as a group of friends, or as your church? And justice Jesus' way is costly. What is the work of justice costing you? Are there ways to commit your resources, your time, your opportunity to do justice? We have seen that this commitment to do justice does produce great impact. Around the world, when justice systems are effective, vulnerable people are protected. And we've measured this, and it's true around the world in the countries where we work across different types of cases. In every one of these communities, people are now safer than they were before. Violence and slavery have been reduced. Their communities are safer. People are protected from the violence that they used to face. And that's made possible by our partners together in doing justice. Thank you for your faithful support. You are modeling the generosity of God by serving others and in seeking their good. So please do support us by continuing to pray for us. Please pray that we're not overcome by the weight of injustice, because it's God's to bear. And pray that more victims of violence will experience rescue and protection. And pray that the strength of Jesus will sustain us as we do the work his way. And you can also support us through giving. I can give you an idea of what the cost is to bring justice to vulnerable people. When IJM works with authorities to rescue victims from slavery and violence, an operation costs about $11,000, and this covers investigation, the rescue operation, and the initial aftercare for rescued survivors. Now, I talked about what doing justice together in community. This means 18 people committing to $50 a month for a year is one additional rescue operation made possible by community. And these rescues protect vulnerable people and make their communities worldwide safer. So thank you once again for your partnership with us in the mission to make the world safer. We're so grateful. And if you'd like to know more about how to participate with us in the mission of IJM, of course, I'd be delighted to speak with you after our service and at lunch. And would you join with me in prayer as we conclude our time and prepare for the table? God, we give thanks, and we are thankful that the way of Jesus is the way of love, it's the way of justice, and it's the way of sacrifice. And thank you, Jesus, for modeling this for us, for living this for us, and for teaching us what it means to be your people, for teaching us what it means to be neighbors. So we give thanks, God, that in Jesus there is indeed freedom from the oppression of sin. All kinds of oppression we do not have to experience because of the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. We give thanks for that, oh God. Yeah. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.